The narrative of the gospel episode from John chapter 9 continues, picking up the reading at verse 18 through the end of the chapter, and I'm reading from the New International Version. Listen to God's word. The Jews still did not believe that the man had been blind and had received his sight until they sent for the man's parents. "Is this your son?" they asked. "Is this the one you say was blind? How is it that now he can see?" "We know he is our son," the parents answered, "and we know he was born blind, but how he can see now or who opened his eyes, we don't know. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews. For already the Jews had decided that anyone who acknowledged that Jesus was the Christ would be put out of the synagogue. That was why his parents said, "He is of age, ask him." A second time they summoned the man who had been blind. "Give glory to God," they said. "We know this man is a sinner." He replied, "Whether he is a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see." Then they asked him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered, "I've told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too?" Then they hurled insults at him and said, "You are this fellow's disciple. We are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses. As for this fellow, we don't even know where he comes from." The man answered, "Now that is remarkable. You don't know where he comes from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners. He listens to a godly person who does his will. Nobody has ever heard of opening the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." To this they replied, "You were steeped in sin at birth. How dare you lecture us?" And they threw him out. Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, and when he found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" "Who is he, sir?" the man asked. "Tell me so that I may believe in him." Jesus said, "You have now seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking with you." Then the man said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. Jesus said, "For judgment I have come into this world, so that the blind will see, and those who see will become blind." Some Pharisees who were with him heard him say this and asked, "What? Are we blind too?" Jesus said, "If you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin. But now that you claim you can see, your guilt remains." The word of the Lord. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Through Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. There are a couple of significant themes in the Gospel of John that are working their way, playing themselves out in this passage. One has to do with a very important theme announced from the very beginning of the Gospel, with the theme of light. Through him, it says, through the word, this is chapter 1, verse 2, without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and the life was the light of the world, the light of humankind. And it further says about that light that, where do I want to find it now? Hold on just a second. Verse 5 says this: "The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not," some translations say, "overcome it," but more and more it's being translated, "have not understood it." So the two themes that are coming together in this passage of chapter 9 are the themes of, of light and darkness, and also of knowing, how we know, how we understand. Because how we're able to see greatly affects how we understand, what we understand and know the world to be and our place in that world. There's a lot of humor in this passage, especially in the dialogue between the man who was born blind and the Pharisees. And you can almost make this into a several act play, or certainly there are several vignettes, because in this scene there's Jesus and the disciples and the blind man. In this scene there's the Pharisees and the blind man. In this scene there's the man's parents and the Pharisees. Then they bring the man back. Then the guy goes out, and then there's Jesus. And it's a wonderful mixture of a storyline that unfolds. But there are some important things going on here that have to do with spiritual blindness, spiritual vision. What we see and how we see God and the world and Jesus Christ very much affects how we will view ourselves and our place in the world. The first scene is rather straightforward. We have a man who was blind from birth. We don't know how old he was. His parents were still able to be there, but they said he was of age, so he was probably in his teens. And he didn't ask Jesus to heal him. That's one of the interesting things about this passage. Jesus sees him, and his disciples show that they're not seeing things all that clearly, because they make a statement that is a question to Jesus that has a theological assumption underneath it. They see a man who has been blind since birth, and they assume, based on the understanding of God and God's way at that time within that circle, that the reason the man was born blind was because somebody sinned. One or both of his parents had sinned. And so they asked Jesus, which parent sinned, his father or his mother? There was a news story, I think it was last week or maybe the week before. What a treasure of a story it was on the network news about a little boy who throughout all of his life had been colorblind. You guys remember seeing this story? Well, Google it. Maybe you'll be able to see it. A little boy, he was, you know, grade school age, just very young, early grades perhaps, maybe even kindergarten. I don't remember how old the boy was. But he had been colorblind from birth. So the world he saw was nothing but like a gray image, you know, and distinction. And this is a true story. Through a kind of new technology, glasses have been able to be developed that allow people with this condition to see colors for the first time in their life. And so in the news story, they were actually showing the boy being taken outside by his dad. I think his mom was around there too, and I think there might have been a sibling. And he puts on the glasses, and he looks. And just for a second or two, he goes and he hides and he wraps himself around his father's legs, crying. So overwhelmed now with a world that was there, but he didn't know that it was there. What a wonderful use of technology to allow one to see colors. You know, in this narrative, I think the disciples were colorblind. All they could see was what they understood God to who God to be and how God dealt with people, that God was the punisher. We're going to see this. It's reflected in the Pharisees as well, because at one point, when they don't like what the blind man is saying to them, they say to him, "You were born steeped in sin." So they're agreeing with the disciples' assumption, because that was the theological understanding of the day. But what they failed to see was the new colors that Christ was bringing to them and to the world, to show the world what God was really like. You want to see what God is like? Look at Jesus. Look at the beauty of Jesus Christ and his interpretation and announcement of the beauty of God's world. So often we too can be stuck in a kind of flatness of vision of what's going on in our lives or who God is in the world, without recognizing that there is a world of beauty out there. And that the God we worship is a God of greatness, of glory, and of beauty. J.B. Phillips, who's one of the translators of the Bible into English, he was a British scholar, wrote a book entitled, "Your God is Too Small." And for many of us, like the disciples at the time, their view of God was so conditioned by the limited vision they had. Brothers and sisters, let us open our eyes to who it is we worship and to the beauty of the world that God has made and in which he places us. Put the glasses on. See the colors. Jesus heals the man. He takes up some spittle and some of the ground, and he mixes a little paste. Why he did it, we don't know. He could have just said, "See," but he had the guy participate in his own healing. He covered it over his eyes, and he told him to go and wash in a particular pool. And can you imagine when the man washed off the mud on his eyes and he saw for the very first time a world in which he had lived, but he had no idea, absolutely no idea. Spiritual blindness keeps us from seeing the beauty and the majesty of God and of God's love through Jesus Christ. Well, the man went back home. And his neighbors, it's kind of a funny scene there. They said, wasn't that the guy who used to be begging all the time? By the way, this would have greatly disturbed the man's life, by the way. He made his living as a beggar. Well, he couldn't continue to be a beggar if he had gotten vision, but he doesn't seem to care about that. Is this the guy? Some said, "No, that's not the guy." Others said, "Well, he looks kind of like the guy." And he said, "Yeah, it's me, I'm the guy, remember me?" So they take him to the Pharisees. And you want to talk about spiritual blindness, folks? Here we are. Here's the Pharisees. I'll come back to their blindness in a little bit. The Pharisees just could not accept that Jesus Christ healed this man. They had a couple of problems with it. One of them was they wanted to make sure that really was a guy who was born blind. They didn't just accept it. It went against all their presuppositions. So one of the things was they thought, well, maybe we're being tricked here. Maybe this guy wasn't blind. But maybe, you know, maybe he's one of Jesus' disciples, and they're trying to pull the wool over our eyes, something like that. So who do they call? Not Ghostbusters. They call on the guy's parents. Now, you want to see some spiritual blindness? Here are the parents. The parents' blindness has to do with, you know, these are tempered so that when I'm in sunlight, they darken. But it also happens in cold weather. And so, you know, when I walk into the office, just walking down to my house to the office, you know, I can't see inside because it's so dark, or I can't see very well. But when you have sunglasses, and do you remember the kind of sunglasses that on the outside they looked like glass so that you could see your own reflection in the sunglasses? Dorothy remembers this. Yeah, I guess we go back, Dorothy, don't we? Well, if the glasses are dark enough, or they're of that kind that are covered, you can't see the eyes of the person who's wearing the sunglasses. That's like the parents. They did not want the Pharisees to know what they had seen and what they knew. So, you know, I could be facing this way, you know, but I could be over there looking at Gail and see Gail out of the corner of my eyes. And if I were wearing the glasses like that, you would have no idea who I was looking at or what I was seeing. They didn't want to reveal to the Pharisees what they knew, what they had really seen. So they put it off on the guy himself. Was this your son? Yes. Was he born blind? Yes. Why can he see now? I don't know. They don't know. Why were they so reluctant? Because they were afraid. They were afraid that there would be consequences if they really told the Pharisees what they had seen and if they really removed the spiritual blindness. And indeed, what they feared became true for their son, and that is, they feared being excommunicated, of being kicked out of the worship life. The Pharisees had that kind of authority. Some think this might even have been a special committee of the Pharisees that governed the life of the worship life of people. This is still in Jerusalem at the time. So they dodged the question. You know, when we really do open our eyes, and if we allow ourselves to acknowledge what it is we really see and really know, it could cost us something. So sometimes we'd rather put the glasses on ourselves, the kind of colors and conditions what we see and affects what we are able to share or want to share with others, because all of us, myself included, have a level of our faith walk that we know we can go another step. We know it, but we don't always want to see it or acknowledge it because it just might be costly. If we really opened our eyes to what's going on around us, it might cost us our time, more of it, our money, more of it. It may cost us our heart and our allegiance. And so in that sense, and again, I'm not pointing a finger because there's all those fingers pointing back at me. All of us operate with those dark glasses on. All of us know that the world out there that God has made is beckoning to us. And sometimes we would just rather not see it full on because it could cost us something. Well, the main target of this whole narrative about the blindness and spiritual blindness are the Pharisees. The Pharisees didn't want to believe that the man had been healed because that disrupts their worldview. They didn't want to believe that Jesus healed him, and they believed, based on their vision, that because this miracle took place and because Jesus did work by not only healing but taking from the ground and making something on the Sabbath, that this person couldn't possibly be from God. You know, these are blended vision things. You know, until I was 40, almost to the day, I could read the phone book without it. And it seemed like almost overnight that I needed a little more help reading things. That probably never happened to, you know, anybody here. But these are blended because I have what's called stigmatism. Stigmatism. And so these glasses have a little part at the bottom where for reading. So if I want to read something, I can't read it like this. I kind of have to read it like that because I'm looking out of that. And then they have, I think, something that's supposed to be like at arm's length so that when you're sitting at the computer, you can do that. And then distance, you know, at the top, you know, for me to see distance. So if I'm trying to read something sometimes in the car, I'm going, you know, going like this. I think that's where I'm weakest in that. Well, for the Pharisees, it's almost as though they're so intent on reading the law, and the law is their life. And that's what Pharisees were noted for, attempting to keep every minute part of the Old Testament law of God. In fact, they believed that if any of their number could do that for just one day, God would be so moved that God would send the Messiah and make everything right again. Well, it's almost as though they've got that reading section on, but that the whole lens is that way. So that they're so set on seeing things from what they see and their interpretation that when they look up from it, they're not seeing things clearly. They have the wrong lens on. And at the end, in this beautiful way of bringing the whole thing together, the beginning is the disciple said this blind man's parents must have sinned. And at the very end, Jesus says that it's the Pharisees who are claiming to have full sight who are the ones who are the sinners and are warping and distorting what they're reading in the law. If we are to see the world that God has made clearly, if we are to understand who God is, the lens through which we must look is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the one who gives us the clear vision, the clear understanding of who God is, of the world that God has made. And when we look through the lens of Jesus Christ, we may just discover we didn't realize how blind we really were. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.